It's Alum Group's Andrea Lay, PacFew's Melissa Burdick, live with me here in Connecticut, the Wizard of Woodland Hills Tree, and I'm PBSB from Flywheel, a division of Omnicom. Before we get to the CPG Guys episode you've downloaded, it's the week of April 15th, and it's time for the Fresh Four. Four curated news stories from the past week. We find them hubristically intriguing. We hope you do too. They're brought to you through our partnership with Retail Wit, your one-stop shop for retail industry intelligence and news. RetailWit.com. It's retail right now. Melissa, kick us off.
Hey, Fresh Four listeners. Dollar General celebrates opening its 20,000th store. There you go, 20,000. U.S.-based discount retailer Dollar General has opened its 20,000th store, celebrating the occasion in Alice, Texas. The grand opening celebrations were attended by senior leaders and vendors. Dollar General Executive Vice President of Store Operations and Development, Steve Deckard, commented, "We believe each store provides a positive impact in our hometowns through convenient access to affordable essentials, career growth, opportunities for employees, and the ability for local nonprofits, schools, and libraries to advance through Dollar General Literacy Foundation grants." Dollar General also awarded $20,000 to support educational and tutoring programs through donations to a local library and community group, as well as providing new books to a local elementary school. Dollar General employs more than 17,500 Texas employees through its store, distribution center, and private fleet presence in the state. On to you, Sri.
Thank you, Melissa and Peter. Jessica Alba has actually stepped down as Chief Creative Officer of The Honest Company, a company she founded. So after nearly 12 years of the company, Alba shared the news in an Instagram post on Tuesday, April 9th. "It is with grateful heart that 12 years after founding The Honest Company, I'm stepping down from my leadership role as CCO. However, I will continue to provide strategic advice through my role on the board," Alba wrote. What's next, Peter?
Oreo reimagines ubiquitous internet menu icon to dole out discounts. Mondelez international brand Oreo has launched a commerce activation dubbed the Oreo menu that aims to re-envision the internet's ubiquitous three-line hamburger menu navigation tool as a two-stacked Oreo cookies. Key to the effort is a microsite where consumers can enter any tab or category name they see when clicking on the three-bar menu icon on the internet as a promo code to receive a deal for Oreo cookies that can be redeemed at Kroger as part of an exclusive partnership. The activation includes an explanatory video and is being driven by influencer content along with digital and social media to drive engagement. The effort follows Oreo's first Super Bowl ad in a decade earlier this year. Andrea, what do you have to close us out?
Hello, Fresh Four listeners. Shein has copyright infringement baked into its business model. Shein is facing a class action lawsuit that alleges that the fast fashion company uses an industrial scale scheme of systematic digital copyright infringement against small designers and artists, according to court documents last week. Attorneys for the group of plaintiffs say that Shein uses sophisticated electronic systems that algorithmically scour the internet for popular works created by artists and misappropriates these works to manufacture and sell them as Shein products without attribution to the creators. The complaint is the latest in a series of copyright infringement lawsuits filed against the fast fashion giant, including an ongoing one from last year that claimed violation of the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organization Act.
Thank you, Andrea. That's it for the Fresh Four. Now on to the CPG Guys episode that you've downloaded.
Welcome to another episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Our co-hosts, Sri Rajagopalan and Peter V.S. Bond, explore how brands and retailers engage with consumers online, in-store, and everywhere in between. And now, here are Sri and Peter.
Hello, folks, and welcome to this episode of the CPG Guys podcast. I'm Sri, the so-called New York Giants-loving CPG guy focused on branding, retail media, marketplaces, and my co-host is Peter V.S. Bond, and this time
in a rare moment in the world, we're on the same page with a sports affiliation. He too is an Eli Manning lover, purely because the both of us have had the unparalleled joy of seeing him beat Tom Brady twice. And he's the New York Giants loving CPG guy as well, and his domains of expertise revolve around brand loyalty, CRM, digital shelf content, retail, customer data insights. Please join me in welcoming the man with the radio voice. Sometimes I call him Mr. 007 himself. Mr. Bond, how are you today?
Sri, I'm old school. I'm a Phil Simms loving New York Giant fan back in the 80s. But Daniel Jones, he's the future, right? 24 years old, ready to rock. Couple new wide receivers. Feeling good about the fall, Sri. I can't believe we're agreeing on something. This is so odd.
Most importantly, Peter, it's a better offensive line.
Yeah, I agree.
And Barkley's rehab is done as well.
There you go.
It'll be good.
All right.
There is one practice game this season as opposed to none from last year. But thank you, Peter. Before we get to our guest, I'll remind our audience that all of our content, y'all asked for a decomposition of profitability in e-commerce, and we did that. Our women's leadership series, fall of last year, where Peter and I were able to collectively donate $8,000 to the Susan G. Komen cause, and our ongoing weekly show can be found easily. All you have to do is go to cpgguys.com. Our content is very much driven by you, and the best way to tell us who you'd like to see on the show and what you'd like us to talk about, simply go to linkedin.com. On the search bar, type cpgguys. For those watching the video, you can see what it looks like. And you can hit the little blue button that pops up at the bottom, which says follow next to it. And you can join this growing CPG Guys family, growing over 50 people organically every single day. The other way to do it is go to ratethispodcast.com/CPGGuys and leave us a ratings and reviews on the Apple platform. The X ratings and reviews captain, Mr. Bond himself, likes a certain number. What is that, Peter?
5.
There we go. I think our audience knows that in a post-pandemic world, D2C for brands has become one of those things that's non-negotiable, at least for experimenting. The art of successful D2C has been personalization, no debate. Reaching the consumer with a message that puts them in comfortable, recognizable situations and resonates with their everyday behaviors almost always results in a relationship for a brand and creates the curiosity with the consumer required to drive experiences. We therefore partnered with Aki Technologies on a 3-part series. Aki Technologies, of course, takes brands to new levels with digital advertising that matches the message to the moment. Every time. I want to emphasize every time with an underline. In the first episode of this series, we heard from the Aki team about who they are, the value proposition they offer. And in this episode 3, we talked to someone from one of the brands they brought value to. And it's none other than one of my favorite chocolate companies, Mars. Rejoining us for episode 3, though, is our guest from episode 1, Miss Risa Crandall herself from Aki Technologies, and our special guest from Mars, Aki client using this very personalization moment to action, is the global head of data science and analytics. What better role than the global head of data and science and analytics to actually talk to us today about moments that matter, personalization underscore every time. Please join us in welcoming both Risa Crandall and Sam Chang. How are you folks today?
Good, good, Sri. Good, Peter.
It's a great day. Another great day in commerce paradise.
Risa, before we get started, could you please tell our multitasking audience where they can find more about Aki Technologies and if they want to get in touch with you?
Absolutely. So you can come to our website at a.ki, the shortest address you could ever have. So we make it easy for you. We make it very easy for everything that we do here at Aki. You can find me on LinkedIn under Risa Crandall, or you can email me at rc@a.ki. Again, short, sweet, and to the point.
Peter, how do you like this? At some point, I'm going to get an email address that says me@sr.i. How about that?
I don't know if you – I think it needs to be shorter.
Shorter. I'll do my
best. Just the letter I.
That's my new. There we go. At SR. How about that? And Sam, before we get started with the questions here, could you please direct our audience to the brand site or sites we will kind of discover through our conversation today so that they can actually go to the site and browse or feel the effects of personalized experiences while listening?
Yeah, there's probably two good sites. One is Mars.com. If your listeners just want to know what's within our full portfolio under Mars Incorporated. But the site I'll be talking a little bit more about is MMS.com, as in M&M's.com. And that's what this site is built up for personalization.
We'll be sure to keep and include both of those links in the digital liner notes. So people listening to this podcast, go find the digital liner notes of this episode, and you'll find hyperlinks to both of those sites.
Thank you, Risa and Sam, to both of you for the introduction. Peter and I are looking forward and stay intrigued on the proposition that Aki Technologies offers, especially with the experiences that you're affording consumers. So let's jump into it. And question number one, Sam, is straight for you. We'd love to learn a little bit more about who you are, Sam. You and I, of course, have had the pleasure of working together in a past life in the giant family of PepsiCo, specifically in the Equator Tropicana Gatorade ecosystem. But what is your role at Mars? And in that role, what are your day-to-day priorities?
Sure. So I lead the data science and advanced analytics team globally for Mars Wrigley. And we sit underneath a broader human intelligence team within our global demand organization, which includes marketing, innovation, and sales. And so while we do have other data science teams in the company, typically they're a little bit more focused in on things you would expect from any large enterprise. So supply chain forecasting, sales pricing and revenue analytics, things that I would largely bucket underneath commercial analytics. My team's priority right now is focused more along lines of helping Mars Wrigley both understand and connect with consumers at a deeper level so that we show up in more meaningful and contextual ways in specific moments, whether that be through our products, our services, our experiences, and obviously through our messaging in our marketing as well.
Yeah, it's really powerful what Mars is doing, is really thinking through the data to understand the consumer at an even a deeper level and really aligning to moments. And that's when Sam and I first met, we could see that there was a synergy there that not you don't always find.
Risa, Sam, thank you for joining us on the podcast today. While I'm inclined to grill you, Sam, about your and Sri's escapades in Madrid, I think we'll stick to, in a prior life, I think we'll stick to the topic at hand today. So from your perspective, Sam, I'd really like to understand what has been the value of building the Mars Aki relationship around data moments and technology?
Well, you know, given the emphasis on you know, moments, people, and connections, what I just talked about, you know, as well as my team's priority on data and analytics, you can see that there is that natural intersection of opportunities with Aki, you know, who has the technology to tie in those connections and moments together. And so, you know, from my team's perspective, what we've been building up internally is our consumer data capability, that end-to-end process of where we acquire first-party consumer data, fully consented and opted in, of course. We cleanse it, we enrich it with second and third-party data, which we then build models and test hypotheses around consumer preferences, and so that we can, and this is the important part, so that we can take action on those insights. And by action, I mean it could be a set of prescriptive recommendations to a brand team, or it could be implementing, you know, automated programmatic actions based on our data. And so where Risa and I have been talking about in that a key value is how we add to that last piece of consumer data with a key technology, so that instead of just point-in-time standalone moments, where we can actually connect across a consumer journey, across a connected ecosystem of digital touch points based on what we know about consumers using our own first-party data, and then working with partners like Aki to show up in the context of their lives.
And then when we talk too about moments, you know, obviously moments mean different things to all of our different manufacturers, but really Mars has identified that moments are an opportunity to bring more consumers into the portfolio, to conquest, to bring other consumers over to the Mars brands from other confection brands, and to really understand these 160 moments that we have here at Aki over the past 6 years that we've built on with our algorithms, with our AI, with our technology, And from when, just like Sam said, with that automation, that's critically important to have personalization really at scale. It's interesting. I was talking to someone the other day about what really personalization at scale means differently than DCO. And it's really interesting to think about DCO has certain factors that you bring into any campaign that's using DCO. And the way we see personalization at scale is when you are walking to your car and your key fob sets your seat, sets your radio station, sets your air conditioning, sets your steering wheel, so that when you sit down in that car, it's ready for you. It is personalized. That is exactly the point of view that we take. So the consumer gets the best experience, the best ad, and then that best action to bring the Mars Wrigley brands forward from a commerce perspective.
Risa, you mentioned personalization. Anytime I hear that word, it stokes emotions for me because it's such a consumer-focused initiative and outcome for brands, especially if you can stoke that emotion and you can make it feel personalized to me. So what emotion, Sam, does that word stoke to you to deliver for the consumer? And then within the brand, how do you think about personalization and moments coming together?
Yeah, so let me talk a little bit about personalization and then the emotional element to it. So personalization, it does have a few different aspects. And Risa just gave a great example of one of those aspects. Another aspect is that there's the pure functional aspect of making something uniquely yours. So if you go to M&M's.com, you can order personalized M&M's that become one of a kind as soon as you print your face on them. No one else will have Shree face M&M's out there. It's yours. And so that's the functional aspect of it. Now, there's an emotional side of personalization, which is where I'm more interested in, because there's a tension between everybody's innate desire to be both belong and to stand out at the same time. So it's belonging in a community, yet at the same time, celebrating what makes you you, what makes you unique. So personalization helps us bridge that tension, following our consumers' desire to create something unique, like custom M&Ms, you know, for example, or it could be snapping or creating an Instagram live story at one of our M&Ms World store experiences, and then sharing that experience or the product, whether it be in person or virtual, in these moments together in the community. So we spent the past few years focusing in on understanding purchase and consumption moments, using digital signals to learn more about our consumers and how we engage with them. But we're at this place now where we want to leverage our 360-degree view of the consumer to start layering on that contextual relevance to, you know, that one-on-one engagement brings.
And it's exciting to build on what we've done with Mars Wrigley too, from a commerce perspective, where we personalized, for example, a campaign that was moms, dads, grads, and red, white, and blue, right? Really important time periods for Mars Wrigley, especially behind the Dove brand, which is a great gifting brand, and to show your moments and show your emotional connection to those who you buy Dove chocolate for. And so we personalize the campaign based on, are you a purchaser of the Dove brand or a competitive purchaser? How you shop, whether you go in store or you add directly to cart that you are ready to buy right now at that retailer or cross retailers. And then we personalized even a gamification in the message to consumers that like certain flavors and that are gifting for mom differently than for dad, differently for the grad. And then when you think about red, white, and blue and the celebrations of our country. So when I think about that campaign where Mars Wrigley pulled basically four campaigns into one, because using our personalization technology allowed a campaign to be more seamless, relevant, and drive sales forward.
I know when Peter heard the word Shree's face on an M&M's, he was chomping at the bit to say something. Go for it, man. Don't be.
I'm already on the site designing the new M&M's for us, Shree. These are going to be our new podcast bling. I'm just telling you it's happening right now. You can't avoid it. All right. There, I got it out of my system. I feel much better. All right. So let's get back to the topic. Sorry, I'm really serious about that. I'm very excited. Shree, you're going to be immortalized on candy. Seriously, immortalized. immortalized. All right. So what I loved hearing there, Sam, is about you're using your own 1P data to complement the driving of this personalization. I think that's terrific. So I want to know from both of you, and I'll let you guys tackle how you want to do this, but I'd really like to understand how a key can help complement your initiatives, particularly when it comes like to the direct-to-consumer site you've created with M&M's, because it's a great experience there. And I want to know how you kind of woven that in from a marketing program and a branding perspective.
Well, it would be helpful, and let me explain the concept of this. So for our M&M's direct-to-consumer business, like any other D2C, we have set priorities and business goals. But when we talk M&M's, we look at it as just it's one M&M's, it's one brand. So whether that be D2C or core retailer-based business, so I'd want to talk about it in a little bit holistically that way. Risa, you may want to share a little bit about what you did with our shopper marketing team around M&M's, and then I'll follow on with what we're looking at from a brand strategy perspective.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we do work very closely with Mars Wrigley on the commerce side. And really what I really appreciate about Mars Wrigley is even that subtle but important shift in calling the group the commerce group, right? Thinking about commerce differently than the classic shopper marketing and looking at the funnel more flat or this way, whichever way you want to go. The funnel is really one that we're giving that consumer the brand experience. And especially with the Mars brands and the M&M's brand, we have created games. We've created custom experiences for the consumer in the ad formats. The consumer gets to play. And that's so much about the M&M's brand, for example. And then giving that consumer the opportunity based on what we know about them, based on their moments. So as you remember, we talked about even on episode one, moments are really defined with your lean back, your lean forward, whether your quick reminder message or we're retargeting that consumer to buy again and build loyalty, which is something Sam and I've talked about as well, or whether we're showing video because you're in that moment, that video is the right format or that gamification. So what we've done with Mars Wrigley is really think about the right moments, the brand essence and how that's communicated in, especially a mobile format, because mobile is so powerful when it comes to the information and the different elements that go into that campaign. So again, quick reminder, telling more of the brand story, video, a game, and then giving the consumer the action item. And so to know, am I encouraging that consumer to go into Walmart, Target, Kroger? Or are we giving that consumer the option to, because we know they are more e-commerce focused, to add directly to their cart to pick up at Walmart or to go OPD and pick up right there at the store? Or is it something more quick like an Instacart or even a GoPuff, right? And the CPG guys did a great job with GoPuff really communicating that instant opportunity, right? So it is an opportunity to think about the creative messaging with that emotion of M&M's that we've done on the commerce side that now Sam and I have been talking about the 1P data and how to enrich that for the M&M's brand side.
Yeah, and I think most brands would tell you that they want to be where the people are at. It's a physical and mental availability thing. You can't be bought if you're not visible and you're not present. And for us, of course we want to be where people are at, but we also want to actually be a part of what people are doing. Because moments for us include that relational aspect to people and communities. And that's where our brand like M&M's helps to really facilitate meaningful moments of connection or these moments that we celebrate together. And I'll give you just a simple personal example of what that looks like. So during COVID lockdown, my family of five, so my wife and my three kids, pretty much every Friday night became family movie night where we would watch the latest episode of, pick your favorite streaming provider, and we would watch together. But before we watched, we actually went down to the convenience store that's just down the street from us. We picked our favorite candies. I would pick, peanut butter M&M's. My son would pick sour Skittles. We'd bring them home. And then during the course of watching the episode or the movie, we would share, what we all picked out. Family movie night became just as much as that buying the candy and sharing it together as it did about watching the movie itself. And it's an example of a microcosm of what we're doing as a brand, which is that we want to show up and be a part of those key moments of connection. Okay, graduation, for example, Risa mentioned it. We're in that time right now. These are moments where people are coming onto M&Ms.com right now because they're looking to create something special, unique, and personalized that they can then share in connection and, you know, share in these celebration moments together. And sort of that's a long lead in to answer your question about, you know, Akiz technology. But we use that, we have the potential to use Akiz technology to help us show up in those connection moments.
Yeah, I was going to just add too that the first party data piece that we've talked about, inboarding and onboarding too, is really valuable because Mars has fantastic data, right? And then you combine that with the moments data that we've built up in our algorithms and our AI over the past 6 years. It's very powerful.
So I want to, you know, obviously you put 1P data in the backdrop. Over here, we've been talking about personalization for quite some time, and Peter has immortalized the CPG guys on an M&M's, which I'm sure an order is going to be placed in the next 34 and a half minutes or so. And I look forward to seeing it. Peter, I'm just saying, you know. But Sam, what would you say is the unique value Akiz brings Mars? And in, you know, as we emerge from COVID over here, obviously we're moving into happy moments in our lives, hopefully. And in this upcoming year, what can you forecast Mars Wrigley will be doing in this better moment space to make the world smile?
Well, Sri, I mean, you actually took my own answer about better moments that
hey.
Make the world smile. You know, it's funny that, you know, really clarifying Akiz's value proposition. You know, I had met Risa over a year and a half ago, and we had a meeting, and she was explaining Akiz, and I think my first question to Risa was, so help me understand, why is Akiz any different than any other DCO company out there? And it took me a little bit to understand, well, I mean, DCO is used, obviously, but really this power and strength and value that Akiz brings, it is the connection of the moments and personalization. And, you know, I can't say it enough. You know, Mars Wrigley, our purpose is creating better moments that make the world smile. So given our emphasis on moments, Akiz's vision of bringing moments, you know, and connections together, it's that natural synergy between the two. So it's what continues to make me want to figure this out with Akiz. And I think, you know, up in the coming year, it's, for me, I want to do something different, unique, with Akiz in terms of what we do with our first party data and what we can offer in terms of something really personalized and distinct for our consumers. And unfortunately, I can't go into any details in terms of what we're coming up in the next year, but it is along those lines of leveraging our first party data with technologies like Akiz to be able to engage in those moments.
It's exciting when we can have those discussions, right? And really plan for those pilots and the sprints that we could do. One of the projects that we're working with Mars right now on the commerce side is around gum, and right, life is coming to a different place, the next normal, I like to call it. And so, you know, it's the back to, it's the back to concerts, it's the back to the game, it's getting to that Giants game, it's getting to the activities that we know. And for me, it's college football, getting back to that. So, but having fresh breath with extra gum. So when having conversations with the commerce team, they've identified Akiz because of our moments to know, as you were saying, people are, their habits and their behaviors are, you know, in real time. So knowing that you were walking near a 7-Eleven, the opportunity to message you to pick up that pack of extra gum before going to the concert, or pick up that extra gum before going to the game, because fresh breath really does matter. It always did, but it matters even more so now as we're moving into this world and the masks have come off, thank goodness. So it's an opportunity when we have these discussions with Mars Wrigley, the folks are just so collaborative to talk about what do you see as a white space? How can we add to that? And then personalize that message too. You're going to the concert, you're going to the game, you're going to your backyard barbecue. And the countdown to those activities creates that opportunity for shoppability and commerce and then immediacy, because I forgot to pick up my pack of gum, but here's one more reminder before getting to that activity. So that's really where the kind of the depth and breadth comes in the relationship, is having those hearty conversations. That's what makes the magic happen.
Sam, can I just say that you had me at peanut butter M&Ms? I don't think there is any greater candy in the world. I can never have enough of that. If I see it at BJ's Wholesale Club in the in the big plastic tub. It's coming home with me. It is just coming home with me. That's a moment. Anyhow, I'm going to change it up a little bit. I was going to ask you something, but I think you answered it. And I guess I want to get back to that whole 1P data. I think, what is it about Aki's technology that really excites you in terms of leveraging your own 1P data at scale? Like, what is it that makes you say, okay, I can actually envision how this can come to life using my own data set?
Yeah, I think what's exciting about Aki's technology is that it goes beyond just your standard geofencing or things of that sort, where a lot of players can provide that information as well. If you look at their kinetic technology and other things that they put into their service, it's really impressive to understand when we talk about moments, we're not just talking about a place, but we're talking about something that people are doing, which is really important for us as we talk about our own moment strategy. And what I really appreciate about working with Recent and Key is that there's this openness around what can be done. And I've never heard them say, no, we don't do that. It's always been us talking through, so how can we figure this out? How can we do this? And so what's exciting to me is, and what we've been talking about is, how do we use our first party data with a Key's technology so that we can engage with our consumers with greater precision, but do it in a way where it's mutually beneficial for us, for a Key, for the consumer, which means that it needs to be transparent, legal, and ethical, while at the same time also being engaging. And I mean, that's a challenge, right? And so that's a challenge we're trying to solve right now and talk through.
It's really a science too, right? In thinking about all the components that go into the recipe that we're creating together and that we're building off of the commerce side of the house. And then even a little bit differently, how we work with Mars Pet, right? We do work with Mars Pet quite a bit as well. And those are on very deep, robust brand campaigns that are using our video personalization, because pets and video, you know, you gotta love a puppy. So it's an opportunity to communicate with that emotional connection like we were talking about earlier. And that's where we see this opportunity coming with flavors of M&Ms. We talked about peanut butter and mint, and what is your flavor? It's an opportunity to create that personalization to, if you're a peanut butter consumer, which Peter, it sounds like you are, serve the peanut butter M&Ms as the option. If I like mint, serve mint to me, right? If Shri likes brownie, then let's serve brownie flavor. And Sam, you pick your flavor for your family movie night, right? It's an opportunity to even flavor target the consumer respectfully, with privacy, with compliance, but in an engaging and actionable way. Either add to list, add to cart, buy it at store. So creating that moment and that connection with the consumer with that frictionless experience, because we're all here to sell products for Mars Wrigley as well.
Shri, I hear relevance. I hear relevance of messaging, leveraging that first party data and making the experience natural. That is just phenomenal.
So we've talked CPG guys' faces on an M&M's. We've talked about Peter's favorite peanut butter M&M's in a bucket. But if we moved away from M&M's for one quick second over here on the website that you shared, Sam, is there other things or anything that Aki can bring to Mars that is really benefiting, let's say, D2C, mobile wallet, 1P data? I think we've kind of only come the surface off. We'd love to chat about it some more. And we've really been talking about personalization for quite a while. But anything come to mind, Sam?
Let me just talk a little bit broadly about this, because that is a question within Mars Wrigley. You know, for so many years, I think we've been these great, great brands that people have such a affinity for, and they love, and they love to buy, and they would love to consume. But at the end of the day, it can be difficult to separate us from a very commodity priced product, right? So we're like, you know, under a dollar. But we're moving into the space of, we need to be seen as something that's more than just the commodity of a candy. We're actually a brand that delivers a whole experience, and that looks different by brand. So for M&Ms, we talked a lot about it, but Snickers is something entirely different that has a different value proposition and a different experience. And so that for Mars Wrigley, we are really looking through all those things of the different experiences, those different places we show up, that our brand show up. And again, you know, data and technology that sits at the foundation of how we go about doing that.
And I'll add to that too, that on the commerce side, we've done a lot of portfolio work, right? Bundling work, because that's an opportunity for brands that are very commodity driven, is to bundle and build a basket. So whether it's building a basket on your list for that, again, that in-store shopping, or whether it's the bundling of the Mars Wrigley products to add to cart, you're going to be much more, we always find, much more successful when you bundle products together. Consumers are more apt to put that into the cart because it's a collection of items. It's not just one pack of M&Ms or one Snicker bar. That doesn't feel as worthy to that consumer. But by bundling and portfolio, which gives us an opportunity to sell additional products, get trial, get incrementality from Mars Wrigley, and get the consumer to try a different flavor or different brand of Mars Wrigley that maybe they hadn't before. So that opportunity is there to drive the brands forward. And that's what we've done. And then measuring the success of the campaigns based on sales lift. And that's what it's all about, is being able to drive conversion and measure that performance.
Sri, now I'm inclined to try both the electric green and teal colors of M&M Mars, maybe a CPG guy's Miami Vice theme. Do you feel that? Is that vibing? Is that vibing for you, Sri?
Here's what we know, Peter, that M&Ms can feel free to send you peanut butter, a tub of peanut butter, M&Ms without you having to go to BJ's. That's how the mystery gets solved today.
Have I shamelessly asked for a promo code for the M&M website yet? No, I don't think I have. I'm not, Sam, if you give me one, it'll only go to a very select couple thousand listeners here, but in any event, let's move beyond that. So this has been really helpful.
Well,
go ahead.
So we started, Peter, by saying personalization, but then we said personalization at scale.
Yeah.
But the important thing was we intersected it with moments that matter. Then, other than understanding the love for peanut butter M&Ms, which Sri has repeated four times in the last 5 minutes, and he also likes the idea of the CPG guy's face on the M&Ms, we talked about 1P data. We talked about analytics, which, of course, happens to be Sam Chang's function at Mars. We've also talked D2C to some extent, automatically built into all of this, because that's how the experience finally gets fulfilled at the end of the day. To me, the single most important word still remains personalization at moments that matter, but in a scaled way. Thoughts, Peter?
No, I agree. And I think you kind of hit it earlier, too, when you said it's moments that matter that play to Mars' mission, which is to make the world smile. So I'm really impressed by that. I think they've built a pretty great, compelling experience for the brand. And I'm excited to see where they expand this into pet care and other food products in their portfolio.
And the message is clear. He loves peanut butter and based M&Ms. So we know.
I
that
love
now.
It. I'm not gonna. I can't lie. I have no shame in my game.
But I want to remind. Sorry. Go ahead, Risa.
I was gonna say they're delicious. Well, and I'll say too that a big part of the relationship with Mars Wrigley and working with Sam is that collaboration. It's really just having healthy conversations about what the brands look to achieve and the corporation looks to achieve. That's where we can get the most juice for the squeeze that we talked about earlier, is, you know, really understanding and having those conversations. But sometimes, you know, everybody's busy and we're doing a lot of Zooms, but when we can't, Sam is always available and to be able to talk to us. And when we were talking about even building loyalty, we really noodled around some different ways and best practices to help Mars Wrigley with a specific idea in mind. So having those conversations is just what I encourage all to do as best we can. We're going to be much more productive if we can hop on the phone and talk for 15, 20 minutes and then think about what are the suggestions that we can all make together.
How about that? And with that, I'll remind our audience, you can find all our content at cpgguys.com. Y'all shape the show, and that's what Peter and I love to hear from you. You can tell us who you want on the show, the topics you want on the show. Best way to do it, linkedin.com, search bar right up top. Simply type cpgguys and hit the plus button that says follow next to it and join our growing family here at the CPG Guys. Sam, I want to thank you so much for appearing on the show today on this podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Love being a part of it. Thanks, Risa, for also including me.
Risa, thank you for joining us as always. Now, this is a special cameo appearance for Risa. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. It's the moment.
Hey. Peter, as always, week over week, pleasure doing this with you, sir.
Sri, I'm sorry, I can't talk anymore. I'm too busy placing my order on M&M's website for our customer.
Solve the mystery. Candy. Is that a peanut butter M&M's or is that one with
these are the milk chocolate. These are the classics, but we're gonna look good. We're gonna look good on them, Sri.
Thank you so much, and for all audience, see you soon on another episode of the CPG Guys. Have a great day, folks.
The content in this podcast episode is provided for general informational purposes only. By listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as advice from CPG Guys LLC or the individual author, hosts, or guests, nor is it intended to be a substitute for research on any subject matter. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by CPG Guys LLC. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The views expressed by CPG Guys LLC do not represent the views of their employers or the entity they represent. CPG Guys LLC expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, or inability to use this podcast or the information we present in this podcast.